Hey everyone, it's Jalian.
And Lauren.
So we are in the studio together for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah.
It's been a year. We're both vaccinated and we can see each other's faces, which is really strange. And we just wanted to talk to you because when we put out episodes, it's usually scripted. We have topics that we want to cover. We're really focusing on the stories that we are sharing with you. But, you know, something that people really love about We Live Here, or at least have in the past, is just the talk between the two hosts. Lauren, we do talk to each other,
yes,
right?
Yes, we're going to be a little bit off the cuff today.
Yeah, so that's unusual for us, like, in front of the mic, but really, Lauren and I probably talk to each other, like, every day, would you say? Like,
yes, all the time, every day. Like, I think throughout the pandemic and throughout this time, we became, like, the best of friends. I feel like we were already close, but I feel like we're a little bit closer just because of, you know, how close we had to work with each other and, like, you know, just talking more than being in the office. We talked about a lot of personal things, so I think we got a little closer.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's like we had to, in a way, because I don't know about the rest of you all, but it seems to be that work became such a big part of our lives during this time because, you know, I literally, at least for me, had the my desk in my bedroom. And Lauren, you still have not gotten
and
a desk. I will give you.
And I don't have a desk, you all. Like, I've been sitting up in my bed trying to be professional because I have, like, a bar thing where I have stools, but it doesn't have a back. So, like, I'm like, I'd rather just sit in my bed. And I would complain, like, oh, my neck hurts, my back hurts. And then, so I don't have a desk. And so.
Yeah, I give her a really hard time because I'm just a little bit older than her. And I'm like, you cannot do this. Your back will tell you something's wrong. And then we've also been voicing in the studio, so I feel like our daily chats about like what we're doing every day also turn into like, how are you doing? Which I think is a really loaded question during the pandemic, but you know, to have someone check in on you and be like, okay, how's it really going? Are you sick of your family members? Or in Lauren's case, your roommate and friend, we love you. And you know, how are you keeping touch with your family? So anyway, we're sitting down for two reasons. One is just to have a chat about how this last year went, just so you all can feel a little bit more connected to us, and also to tell you about something where you will get a chance to talk to us. Lauren, should we tell them about their chance to talk to us before we get into our conversation, and then we'll remind them at the end?
Yes. So we just put out a new listener survey. It shouldn't take but about 15 minutes of just a couple of questions to find out what you guys enjoy, what you guys like, what you don't like, if you like the length, the format, what you would like to hear from us. We just finished up our environmental racism season, so we're trying to figure out what we want to talk about next, who we want to talk to, where we want to go, and we think that your feedback will be really great. So we want to take a step back for a few weeks and just kind of hear you guys' thoughts, and you can find it at welivehere.survey.
welivehere.show / survey. All right, everyone, welivehere.show is our website, and you do / survey to get to the survey. And yeah, Lauren knows exactly what she's going to say right up to the link. It's very funny. But I want to emphasize that, like, it was our idea to do the survey. There's no one telling us, like, you need to do a survey. And
right.
We really want to hear from you because we're here producing this thing, sometimes in our closets, sometimes out in the field, and sometimes like way too much time on our computer. But we're making these podcasts for you, and we sometimes love what we're hearing. You know, there's some certain times where I'll be like, oh my God, Lauren, you did that interview so well, and you got this person to say this really deep stuff, these good stories, you know, like Dr. Dorseta Taylor's life story, you know, for example, or when Lauren shared some, you know, personal experiences with asthma and how, you know, her mom shared about her experiences raising Lauren. Those moments are really good for us. And, you know, we're still not going to doubt our intuition on that. And Lauren has a really good ear for sound, too. But we know there's things that we could improve. Like, we want to know things about, you know, do you like how we voice stuff? You know, how we explain things to you? Do you wish we covered different topics? So many things. And also, I think through the pandemic, listening habits have changed. Like, people are not, well, at least through the pandemic, people weren't going to the gym, for example. They weren't commuting. And right now with vaccinations, things are shifting, And this is something we've covered so many times. It's not been equitable. So not everyone has been able to go back to quote unquote normal. And we know that's not the case in many countries. So either way, we want to know what keeps you listening to We Live Here. What would make We Live Here meaningful to you? We have heard from people who use it in their classrooms, for example, but we also know some of you are, you know, let's say activists, or you think of yourself as like a social change maker, or maybe you're even like a lawyer or a policymaker and you use We Live Here. Like, what can we do to make your life easier, or give you information that you really crave? Or, you know, maybe you listen to it and no one in your family listens to it. At least this is something relatable to me. And my partner is going to say you shouldn't have said this. But, you know, he hears my voice all day. And in the pandemic, he heard it a lot more. And so I kind of give him a hard time for not always listening to We Live Here. But if there's someone in your life who doesn't listen to We Live Here, but you think maybe they could if we change this one thing, we want to know those things, too.
I think that would be really great to hear from you guys and kind of engage with you all and kind of, you know, just hear your thoughts and see where we can take the show, what things we can change, what things can stay the same, and how we can kind of work together to make We Live Here for the people who live here. Maybe you all want to hear more from me and Ja, like about what we like, what we don't like, you know, our personalities. You see when I said the link wrong, you can't see us. You can't see us. But while I was talking, I looked at her like, that's right, isn't it? So, you know, we have a good team. We know each other's strengths, weaknesses. We know what each other's going to say or think most of the time, I would say.
Well, is it maybe because we're both Cancers? Like,
I think so. We're both Cancers. Our birthday is, what, a week apart? So, you know, and
well,
Cancers are very,
we're emotional. So yes. I think, like, if you don't take the survey, we might get a little emotional. We might get our feelings hurt. Like, they listen to us.
That's
we
true.
See the stats. But sometimes fewer people listen to us on mm-hmm. certain episodes, and we don't know why. Like, please tell us. We want to know.
We definitely do. And like Josh said, I really enjoy having conversations. And, you know, we always try to balance it out, like things that I like, things that she likes, and we kind of take lead on different things. And I think a lot of the episodes that Ja took lead on, farming and demolitions. Is it farming?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, no. It was okay. So this is another behind the scenes thing that you wouldn't know if you weren't talking to us. We have working titles that
yes.
are more descriptive. So for a long time, it was like demolitions because this is something that these two black
farm
artists were.
Dreams.
Farm
and
dreams
dust.
And toxic dust was the name of the. Yes. episode. Exactly.
Yes.
So, but we have these working titles and then we change it to.
Yes. After we hear from people and kind of think of, you know, things that they said that really, you know, stuck with us and things like that. But what was I saying? Oh, I was saying that those investigative, like research, you know, being able to have something happen after an episode comes out, like them being able to talk to the EPA or like try to get soil tested, like different things like that. We value those just as much as we value like just more relaxed conversational episodes. So we try to bring you a balance of both.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, so there's this part in the survey at the end where you can just like write whatever, I think, if they have anything else that they're thinking of. And you know, don't be afraid to hurt our feelings. We'll be fine. We really do want to know what would make the show better. Something else that we've been thinking about are the concept of community. I can never see. This is the other thing. I can never say that word, but
yeah.
we say this word in our episodes all the time. Community producers. I have to really enunciate. So we're thinking about community producers, and what that means is someone in St. Louis who's always kind of thinking about stuff and starting good, thought-provoking conversations. We're starting to reach out to certain people and see if maybe they would be on our show. Just because we are thinking about maybe we want to put out the show more often. But that's another thing that we're asking about in the survey. Like, do you want to hear We Live Here more often, or is you know, every other week schedule good for you? Because I will say for me and Lauren as producers, like, thinking about putting out We Live Here more often really terrifies us. We're a really tiny team. Most podcasts you might notice when you listen to the credits have a lot bigger teams. And so we definitely need help if we're going to bring on more people.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I keep going back to this word engagement, but just being able to engage with more folks, being able to hear other voices than just ours.
Yeah.
Even though we talk, but it's not that much. It's mostly just to carry a story along and things like that. But, you know, just to have other voices and other people that can bring new ideas and kind of give us a new spark and a new wave of doing things. So I think that's going to be great. So we're reaching out to people. We're trying to figure out, you know, how we can work together, how we can collaborate, and how we can produce the best shows for you all.
We ask everyone this: what is carrying you through, like, for mm-hmm. some of our last episodes, not for the environmental racism season, which we asked, what do you hope for the next generation, but what has been carrying you through lately?
I think that the pandemic and this past year and all the things that have been going on, I think it taught me a lot. You know, I was already the type of person that would like call and talk to like family members all the time, like whether it was like weekly or, you know, almost daily, three times a week. So I think that I just learned to engage with my family more and engage with people that I'm around more and not just think that, you know, I have more time to talk to them. Like, I think I actually sat and was like, oh, I need to really like reach out to people and like talk more. And you know, I experienced some loss, I experienced some changes, I experienced some hardships. And so I just really sat back and thought, like, you know, I want to make sure that every day that I'm able to reach into and talk to people that, you know, are a part of my life, people that I love, people that, you know, that motivate me, people that are supportive, and not to forget, you know, those small, tiny moments that you can have with people. And I think I really started to value that more. And just taking time to myself, I've never sat at home that much, like just sitting and looking at the same walls.
I can't take any more interviews, podcasts, movies. I've watched them all. I've listened to it all. What do I do now?
I was like, Ja, can I go somewhere? Like, she's like, no. I'm like, I need to escape this room. But yeah, I think I learned a lot. So I think what's carrying me through is just being like hopeful for the future and just, you know, valuing family more and valuing friendships and relationships and, you know, just life more, because as we saw, people experienced a lot of loss and things can happen at any moment. So not to take anything for granted, to be grateful for the things that I do have, and just to, you know, what do they say? Seize the moment or whatever. And just like, you know, like take each day and like, whether it's do something new or just experience something new or just try to, you know, experience life, even though it's a lot of things going on, you know, that can affect us and affect our mental health and things like that. But just taking time to yourself and, you know, enjoying life, even in the midst of like all this turmoil, you can find time to sit with family and talk. Even though I don't live with family, like Josh said earlier, I have my friend as my roommate, so I didn't go home as much last year, but I've been trying to take time to go home for, you know, longer periods of time now since we have the vaccine and things like that. So yeah, I think I've learned, and what's carrying me through is just family and friendships and relationships and being excited about what can be next, like what's next for me, what's next for my life, what's next for the future, and just hoping that it's fun and like hoping that it's fun and just enjoyable and that, you know, I'm like living life to the fullest. Because I was saying this to Ja earlier, that like time waits for no one. And so like I want to make sure that like I'm valuing time more, that like I only have this one life to live. So I need to live it to the fullest extent.
I mean, that's a good thing to think about, especially after a year where you really felt like you couldn't live it to the fullest extent. I'm someone who really likes to like go out and like I'm an extrovert, you know, I like going to museums, I like going to libraries, I like going to community events. And I think this last year was really hard for people who crave that connection with people. I think what Lauren was saying was about not taking that type of connection for granted, but trying to connect with people how you can. Mm-hmm. So it really reminded me of The times that me and Lauren would go out into the field, you know, it was, I think, a little bit selfish, to be honest. Like, part of it was to bring you all with us to, because stories are a little bit hollow without that connection, without feeling like you're somewhere. You know, we've done a lot of stories where people are, episodes where people are sharing their perspective, but it's not the same as the ones where we actually go out to a community cleanup or where we go out to someone's urban farm and see, you know, what it is that they're working on. So we did choose things that would be safer during the pandemic. We were wearing masks. We were socially distant. Even during the uprising, for example, like I would go out sometimes to protests and be capturing protest tape from afar, but still there. And I think those moments, and I think what we tried to capture in both the COVID-19 and Uprising for Black Lives season was that people are still working to change things for each other in their communities. They're still fighting for things, the things that people are struggling with in their lives. They're still fighting to thrive. They're still fighting for things to be better. And it's a hopeful thing, even though it really felt like sometimes over the last year that everything was awful.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, you know, things were even hard for, you know, in newsrooms. If you look up any article or talk to any journalist, they will say a lot of us are burnt out. A lot of us experience mental health issues. That's something that Lauren brought up. And for me, you know, in the last year, I really acknowledge that I have anxiety. That's something I've dealt with my whole life. And I don't think it really hit me until recently just how that plays out. So when Lauren talks about like trying to find little moments of joy, like that's something that I've been working on. And there's some things that are manageable for people who want things to be different. You know, I think a lot of you in our audience are this way. You know, you're trying to educate for a better world, or you're trying to advocate for a better world, or you're trying to learn something so that you understand your neighbors better. It can feel like what you need to do are these big changes to systems and structures, and those systems and structures need to change. But for me, it was like, to get to the next day, you need to do little things. For me, I've been growing things and seeing something grow and like watering something every day and seeing that progress. Or, you know, I had family with me through the pandemic and taking care of each other. And we actually did a meal rotation. And so we were fortunate enough to take turns cooking meals and enjoying like what each other ate, or suffering through whatever each other cooked, or experimented with cooking. And yeah, again, not taking for granted people near you. We did have conversations about mental health through the pandemic. One of those keys was to be creative about how you connect with people. So yeah. All this is to say, like, podcasts are weird. You know, you listen to them. I once heard someone say that they're like having friends in your ears. And sometimes, you know, I've had one time someone approached me and was like, hey, I know you. And I was like, yeah, I know you too. And they're like, wait, maybe. Do you really? Because they found it surprising that I knew who they were, because they would listen to me on a podcast and they felt like they knew me better than I knew them. And in some ways that was true. In other ways, you know, I knew who they were. But all that is to say, like, you know, we do want to connect with you. We do want to know, you know, who you are, what you're passionate about, and how we can make this show better for you.
Yeah. So we just want to make sure that we're telling the stories of the people that live here and that you all value it just as much as we do.
Yeah, so we're at We Live Here STL. If you're a listener, hopefully you know that. But we're on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Comment on our stuff. Like, we do read it. You know, sometimes we get in our routines. Like, here's an episode. This is what we say to, like, put it out. But we do want to talk to you. We do want to hear your perspectives. Because sometimes or often you have stories that we aren't even thinking about. And that's what makes this show awesome, when we get some tips. And, like, have you ever thought about this? Or, I'm going through this. So,
yeah.
We Live here.show/survey.
Yep. All right, guys.
That's all.
That's a wrap.
That's a yeah. We need a sign off thing. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. So, all right.
All right. Bye. Thanks so much for joining us for this candid conversation. Again, the listener survey can be found at welivehere.show/survey. This show, We Live Here, is produced by me, Jalian Yang, and my co-producer, Lauren Brown. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.